beep. I have synchronized with Josh finally. I am on his processor frequency.
The singularity. We've achieved the singularity.
Now, I saw John Glenn fly into space. I've flown in space. I'm a NASA astronaut. I'm space station. Like coffee.
Hello and good evening. My name is Josh. I'm joined as always by Aaron and Bob. We're the folks who are going to be the madness. Reason and the unreasonable makes sense and nonsense because this is okay. Hear me out. Aaron and Bob, how you doing this evening?
Fantastic. How are you guys?
I would like to say that I'm rested after our vacation at cabin, but that was the most fucking insane 5 days of just nonstop chicanery that it was not relaxing at all.
Yeah, the most stressful.
Yeah, I wasn't even team captain. Like, that was you, Aaron.
Yeah. No, just wait. I'll nominate you next year. We'll do robots versus just something. I don't know. Well, you two both. And we're going to do robots versus Jews. You guys can be team captains because it's horrible.
I feel like Josh and I are just too agreeable. The Jews and the robots will just join forces to take down humanity. That's a bad call.
Down all the goy.
The most stressful five-day vacation I've ever taken.
Yeah. It really was. The amount of times that I was like having a panic attack because my team insignia Nazi armband I couldn't find it, and I was afraid to be caught drinking without it and then have to spin the punishment wheel. All things that happened on vacation, by the way, but if we're drinking a beer could result in you spinning a wheel of punishment. But it was very
which
fun.
Included. Yeah, which, oh man.
Eat the Bugs was a good one on there. I like to eat the Bugs.
Bean Time was my favorite, I think. If you guys have any recommendations...
Well, I just love the cabbage got Bean Time. Like,
if you guys have any recommendations for punishments to put on the Wheel of Punishment, go ahead and call us at
1-833-666-9999.
Call us at 1-833-666-9111. Again, that is 1-833-666-0911.
Bam. That's what we should have played as the intro song, the stupid carnival music.
Oh my god, the Wheel of Punishment carnival music? You're right.
Smile on my face. Yeah. We had to wait for the Duke of Ice to show up. Like, anytime someone spelled on the wheel, we'd wait for someone to find the Duke of Ice, grab the Bluetooth speakers, and just blare that at top volume.
And then they had the Polaroid pictures, so you had the... That was how we kept scores, taking a Polaroid picture of your shame. So good.
In the middle of the consequence.
You know, I don't ever want to relax on vacation again. I just want to see people get punished constantly. Yes. Be in constant fear of also being punished.
How was vacation, Aaron? Squid Game was fun.
Yeah. It's exactly like that.
All right.
On to something actually very relaxing and fun. Josh, just so you know, space is more open than you even could have possibly imagined.
Are we going to call open space space now? Okay, never mind. Are we watching video?
Sorry, no, what was it?
Oh, yeah. Nothing.
Okay, fine.
That was my setup for the video.
We're going.
We are going.
We are going.
We're going.
And this is how.
Mission Equity.
I am gay.
I am gay.
I am gay.
I am a queer woman. I am NASA.
I am a lesbian. I am NASA.
I am a transgender woman. I am NASA.
I am a queer woman, and I am NASA.
I am non-binary. I use they, them. I am NASA.
We still have a little ways to go, and we're casting our net wider and wider.
We need gay scientists.
Hispanic doctors.
We need black engineers.
We belong.
We belong.
We belong here.
At NASA, we're on a mission of equity to use science, data, and technology
to advance equity.
Diversity and equity and inclusion and accessibility.
We also implemented a unity initiative.
It just felt really nice to see someone else in the room using those pronouns, and I made sure to introduce myself with my pronouns.
Advancing racial equity, diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility. Our strong commitment to DEIA is one of the important reasons that NASA has been ranked number one among large agencies for employee engagement for the past 9 consecutive years. And we've also been ranked number one in inclusiveness in the past 7 consecutive years.
NASA is just a small piece of the Biden administration's efforts, but we should lead the way.
At NASA, we make air and space available for everyone.
We all know that diversity in space is needed.
We're going to the moon.
We're not going anywhere.
Not everybody can be a robot polisher.
We need...
How do you feel about that, Josh? You
know when they say that every dollar we invest in NASA results in $7 of value to the U.S. economy? I'm beginning to think that that just is the healthcare benefit payments towards transition hormones.
Don't be silly, Josh.
They're just value right there.
They're just buying a fuck ton of dildos and lube. Fucking.
I mean, it's the rocket ship image, rocket ship imagery the whole time. It's the they know it best. They've perfected it.
Now, Josh, I am imploring you. Yes. After watching this video, do you still have faith that we're gonna land on the moon again? Just. Gun to your head question,
I mean,
Josh.
We might not.
Oh no.
We might not beat some of the other space agencies. Like so. What really? When I'm watching this, I just think, thank God we're not in a cold war with Russia or China or India or Japan or the EU or anyone's going to the moon, because I don't think we're gonna beat him this time. After seeing that video, but we're still going. Don't worry.
But we're still going. What? Okay. What's the delay that you think it's gonna be then after seeing that? Are you gonna tack on like give them another 2 years or something?
Oh man, I mean,
2025 to 2027. Now's your
the
chance.
Navy press release
this time the delay.
Like, we're delaying program 5 years. So, NASA, they've already delayed a few years. I think it's second half of 2026 right now, right? Like September or something is technically what they're saying.
Oh, you're the one that keeps.
I thought so, right?
Wasn't they're delaying even more than I thought.
It's sometime 2026 is the current status.
Yeah, like December, December like 28th, 2026.
No, but I did see some reassuring news earlier. Instagram ads showed me a RTX Collins spacesuit. So the spacesuits for the moon landing are ready. And I remember like 2 years ago, that was the big delay that they had to invest another $1 billion in. So I think we're right on schedule for a Christmas 2027 launch.
I have a feeling that
it's like a 2 month mission or something, so we're gonna get there like in time for Valentine's Day. Perfect.
I have a feeling that the biggest delay is gonna be that they're gonna launch, instead of launching the rocket at the moon, they're gonna accidentally launch it directly into one of those guys' ass, and then like, oh no. The delay, it was honestly, you should have seen this mistake coming.
See, I would have gone, when is Gay Pride Month? June? I would have said they would have launched June. It I mean, before like, June so that they could land their gay astronauts on the moon from June 1st till the end of June. You know, like, keep out that whole period. That would be very iconic of them. I think
that actually,
if they plant a pride flag with the little black and brown and non and trans and...
With the circle and the
intersex,
arrow and all that
triangle
other shit.
On it. Yeah. All that on the... If they plant that on the moon before they plant a U.S. flag, mission fucking accomplished. We did it.
When they...
That's
they
the
pretend,
dream. That's the goal right there.
Josh, you're kind of brilliant. When they pretend to go to the moon this time, I
gonna
guarantee
do that.
They're going to fucking plant that flag.
It's going to be the extra pride flag. It's going to be... The Ukraine flag, and that's going to be the U.S. flag. That's going to be smaller.
No, that's racist. You can't have the U.S. flag up
no,
there.
Ukraine's done. It's going to be an Israeli flag against the
oh,
horrifying
yeah,
acts
flag,
of the
and then the U.S. flag. No, the U.S. flag, it's going to... You know how the flag, like, still waves and blows in the wind on the moon? It's going to, like, do that, but the U.S. flag is going to fly off and they're going to lose it out of outer space. That's what's going to happen.
A solar vortex took away the American flag.
the bending over backwards people do for the fluttering flag on a place with no wind is mind-blowing.
They did it on Mythbusters. It has to be real.
Dude, isn't Mythbusters the worst show you've ever watched now if you, like, rewatched it as an adult?
Oh, my God. Yeah, like, watching as a kid, it was so fun, and rewatching even 5 minutes of any episode as an adult, it is terrible. They're indoctrinating children with, non-science and the stupidest topic. Like, these are also, like, the stupidest topics you can bring on the show. They're not, like, trying to prove important things, and then they have completely non-scientific methods to try and, quote-unquote, prove it. It's, not pleasant.
One of my favorite ones that they do when they're when they're talking about the moon landing shit, because, like, they even said it on Mythbusters, because everybody says it, is it would have been harder to fake it than to land on the moon. And then, like, you look at the original footage and it's like the grainiest thing of all time that you can barely see. It's so dark that you can't see shit, and it's just the guy dropping. It's like, that's not hard to fake. I don't know why they think that's unfakeable. It blows my mind that they think that.
I mean, and in modern days, too, it we can have AI create a full-on video of landing on the moon that, like, in realistic, photorealistic level quality, and they're delaying the moon mission years at a time with infinite budget. So, like, yeah, not easier to fake.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So what's our first real topic going on here?
What was that point of that video, Aaron?
To remind you that
we've done our initial reactions to the video.
To remind you that space is fake, but also, and more importantly, very gay.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, thanks, Bob.
You're welcome.
Actually, before we get on to a real topic, I have another space thing we need to talk about. I remembered, so last episode, Aaron had brought in this clip of this CIA guy on some podcast talking about satellites during Desert Storm. Did you guys recall?
Yeah, it took like 6 months for a satellite to fucking get like a couple thousand miles.
Yes. And it seemed very strange how he described it, because that's not how satellites work. But I did some research right after the show. And then, like, right after I did that research, Wendover came out with a video that summarized everything I'd read up on. And like, I don't have any clips. And this was like probably 4 weeks ago at this point, but I kind of remember the point. I kind of remembered the key aspects. So the early 1990s, GPS satellites were a big deal. So the satellites specifically they're talking about were GPS satellites, so they could navigate through the desert, in the middle, at, like, any time of day, and attack Kuwait, Iraq, whatever the fuck was happening. I don't even remember what the fuck. But sorry,
that
Iraq.
Was Kuwait.
They were
invading
Kuwait. That was yeah, but so they satellites were new. They were using it to navigate through the desert because that was difficult. And they only had, if I remember correctly, it's like 26. It was in the low to mid 20s of GPS satellites in the sky. GPS satellites, how high they are in orbit, do 2 orbits a day. So kind of picture you have a grid of 26 satellites. You're trying to have roughly 24/7 coverage over this one region, and they're still moving pretty darn fast over the region at a time. So you kind of need this whole band, this whole network, to get that to work. Aaron?
Question.
You're going to comment something?
What does that have to do with the one moving from Russia over Kuwait?
No, he's clarifying.
So what I'm saying is, it's
the satellite array isn't just like one satellite, he's saying.
No,
he's saying
I know. So they're using all 26 that we have to make sure we have 24/7 coverage.
Yeah, but effectively it's a hard thing to get that 24/7 coverage with that few satellites, and it can only be over, you know, a certain strip, certain orbit around the Earth. So they had to move that orbit.
We'd only be getting pictures every hour, basically, if we had 26 satellites going over the same region. And so every hour we get an update of, like, photos, right?
Well, if you had, like...
Every half hour.
No, I think it's providing GPS information to them, like location data and stuff like that.
Well, yeah, okay. It's location data, but no. And it's not like it's over just, like, they do have some level of aperture. Like, they don't cover just a single point on the Earth. But, like, what Aaron's saying makes sense. They have limited coverage per satellite, so they need... So they're not going to have, instant perfect coverage and instantaneous transmission of GPS details.
One question.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. I do want to hear you trying to bend over backwards to defend how stupid that thing sounded last week. And I would like to hear your explanation of what really happened here with the satellites. And then I would like really, really badly want to rebut to that, because I am glad that you're doing a follow-up from last week's, because this still isn't making any sense to me, but I'm sure that you'll clarify all this and very soon.
Yeah, just give me another 30 seconds. I was annoyed because you had sprung the topic on us, and I was super uneducated on everything involved and made a fool of myself. So that's why I'm coming back with for revenge, for redemption. And yeah, so it's ultimately that it's they have to be in a pretty specific band to have decent coverage over that orbit, over that area of the Earth, because it's not geostationary, so it's not directly at the equator, blah, blah, blah. To move satellites, they do have some level of propulsion. If I remember correctly, they use noble gases. They have like some neon and xenon in there that they... I forget exactly why, but it's a certain type of propulsion. They use some solar power to like shoot it out, and but they have to be extremely conservative with it because of the payload of getting the satellite up there needs to,
and the hole in the ozone
limits.
Don't forget about that. You don't want to use too many noble gases. You'll bust a hole right in the ozone.
No, don't worry about noble gases. That's just cosmetic hairsprays.
These are way above the ozone.
Everything that you found useful in your life, that's what's dangerous. Okay, not the noble gases.
Yeah. The creation of plastic bags at the grocery store that we use at the grocery store, that caused ozone. Hairspray.
Yeah, that's the next topic.
Air conditioning especially causes ozone. Probably cows.
Definitely
keep going,
cows.
I'm sorry.
But the GPS orbit's like way above the ozone, so that's going to have zero impact. But very limited payload, but they are very limited propulsion that they're able to do, so it's going to be very slow to get them to move orbits, but they are able to. And they do have, like, they try to get that the amount of fuel they have on there to last for like 20 years, 15 to 20 years for GPS satellites, I think is what I read, but between 10 to 20 years. So that's to get an idea of like how many GPS satellites they launch and how long the missions are, like when they need replaced. 10 to 20 years.
Can I ask a question then?
That's kind of the idea there. Oh, of course. Yes.
Okay, so I see what you're doing there, and that's how a lot of people do these kind of things. They're like, no, you see, we only had 20 satellites, so we had to wait for noble gases to push the satellite over the course of 6 months to the trajectory of doing this. If that's the case...
Yes.
Were any of these satellites made out of the rarest material on planet Earth that we couldn't obtain enough to make a 27th satellite? That's my first question.
Especially in that time frame, to get like at least a couple more satellites up there in that
time
frame.
Could you make a satellite in a month?
Yeah. No, that's a good question. I forgot to address that, or I forgot if I did. No, that's a good question. Like, could they have just launched more satellites? Maybe. They over the course of, like, the next decade, they launched like a bunch more, and then in the 2010s on, we just put like hundreds and hundreds more GPS satellites in the sky, or like thousands more. So we know that we can produce and launch them quickly nowadays, at least. The big focus at the time was just producing the satellite receivers. So that was the other limiting factor that might have contributed to the 6 months, is they had very few like actual GPS devices. So not even all the soldiers in Desert Storm had their own satellite receiver GPS device. And that was one of the limiting factors for these operations.
But that's doesn't matter if the soldiers have it, because they said they needed it before they could launch the war. America, their favorite thing to do is to go to war with countries on behalf of like bankers.
Yes.
They delayed a war. They delayed doing their favorite thing for 6 straight months because they needed one satellite from Russia to shoot neon northward to shove its trajectory southward. And that's what delayed the war.
Yep, I'm glad you're getting this
and
so quickly.
They could have just built one more satellite. So they couldn't build one more satellite to complete the network within 6 months. And that's the legitimate reason you're giving.
I really
giving
have no idea if it was just one satellite they're trying to move or a lot, but like either way, 6 months is a little bit of a stretch.
They couldn't build 50. Like,
you said they had 26 satellites that they were adjusting.
They had 26 satellites
so
in the sky.
Like,
I don't know
way,
where, yeah,
like,
I don't know where you... they all were at the time. Some of them might have been in a fine position, but like, yeah, but Bob's right. They had to.
Right, because if they make like a ring, if they adjust that ring of 26 satellites around, you know, the globe, that's what I'm imagining that they were doing, is like just adjusting that orbital ring of 26 satellites to the correct area.
Yes.
And that's how you get constant coverage.
How are your guys' bullshit detectors not going off on this? You think it's harder for them to build the fuck 26, 500 satellites. Let's have them build 500 satellites and launch them directly in a path over Kuwait to grid out the whole fucking thing, and they have 6 months to do it. Or that they have ancient satellites equipped with neon noble gases that squirt out at very slow speeds for adjustment. And then let's just ignore the fact that every single satellite that's ever crashed to Earth has a gigantic fucking parachute balloon on it. Every single one. That's not weird. The most obvious thing isn't that they're just lying to you. They're just full of shit when it comes to satellites, and they're all on fucking balloons because NASA, the ones playing YMCA in the background, as everyone says how we need gay scientists, is they're so like they're definitely telling the truth. It's not just that they're lying. Like, come on. You get work with me here. Wait. There's no way your bullshit detector is not fucking ringing at fucking DEFCON 5 right now.
Did you miss
now.
The part where I said like 10 scientific things? That like that excuses any explanation you could possibly provide.
Well, there's only 26 satellites in the air, so instead of building another one, they squirted noble gases and waited 6 months to start war. You know, the thing that the U.S. is always so iffy on whether or not they want to do. Like, it's fucking crazy.
Yeah, we probably let, like, 100,000 Kuwaitis die in that time.
Well, you know, there's logistics to go into that, too. I think we brought that up last time, where it's like, okay, well, they need the time to mobilize all of the military into that area in the first place. Like, logistically, that's a nightmare. I can see them taking 6 months to get, you know, everything sorted out. But I also agree. Like, they could have
said.
They could have at least put another satellite up in the sky to help.
Honestly, your best defense of that thing not being the case is that the CIA guy we listened to is full of shit. That's actually the best defense. Your best defense on that is that guy doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. The end. That's actually the best defense for that. Because if you're trying to rationalize what he's saying, anything other than the government's full of shit is a retarded take.
Josh, that's your point, right? Is that guy that was on that podcast was a fucking retard?
Like, yeah. Well,
no,
I think he
was trying to defend that guy talking about the satellite taking 6 months to move. That's what Josh was doing.
Like, I think there's a scenario. I think there's a scenario adjacent to what he described that could be real. I just think he described it poorly and doesn't understand what actually
happened. No,
there's
not a scenario where the U.S. had 26 satellites and they said, well, that's as many as we can do. Let's not send any more. But now once the war's over, now we have thousands. Actually,
I mean, it was like 1990, though.
Do either of you find it weird that every satellite that crashes to the ground, like dozens of them, all have giant fucking balloons attached to them? Does either of you find that fucking odd?
No, because I've never heard or seen that until just now, until you just said it.
What, real? No, I think I've literally brought in a video.
Well, I thought they crashed
that.
Satellites in that little like satellite graveyard in the middle of the Pacific. You know,
thank you,
like,
thank you for my homework. I'm
going
to go find satellites to attach to balloon videos. That's all I'm going to do this week.
Back to your roots. You're welcome.
Incensed right now.
I can't remember back 100 episodes.
You've done it, Josh. You've pissed off Aaron.
Also, I just remembered.
No, this is what I needed. This.
Perfect. Perfect. I'll conclude this by saying I just remembered. So I'd watched Lawrence of Arabia the other week, and they didn't need satellites to navigate through the desert to wage war. So I think like this whole thing's a hoax because you don't actually need GPS for that. You can just kind of do it. Just grab some Arab
tribes. That's a good point.
And they can bring across the desert.
That is actually really that's like another that. Great point, Josh, of why this story is stupid for one, but is. Every war we had before that, we did without GPS. Now, all of a sudden, we need GPS, a thing we've never used once before because it didn't exist. But for this one, we're going to delay the war because we need GPS for this one, boys. We know how that's going to be very important.
Yep, I'm glad you're finally coming
well,
to terms with
start talking about noble gases again and how slow moving satellites are, and I'll fucking blow my brains out.
Which noble gas did they use, Josh?
They use like every different noble gas. They use like fucking xenon and neon and radon.
Any of the ones
to,
that
like,
sounded science
Krypton,
fictiony, they used all
used
of them.
Everything.
I'm trying to hand Aaron a pistol right now.
They used the Superman one. Now, if you thought that was bogus science, let me tell you about recycling. So, I'm sure you guys grew up in the 90s,
yes.
Right?
Guilty
I'm sure
as
you were
charged.
Very familiar with, like you saw in school, saw on TV, saw on everywhere. Reduce, reuse, recycle.
Yep. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That was everywhere. It was even on all of our recycling bins with the little three arrows in a circle.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very important. Like when in your lifetime did you see recycling bins just being everywhere? Just next to trash cans?
My whole life.
More prominent than trash cans. Just
early 90s.
Your whole life. Perfect.
Probably. But it might have been earlier than that. I was really young so I think they were just always there.
And of course, the most important question, how much better do you feel about yourself? How morally superior to some country hick do you feel when you put a plastic bottle in a recycling bin instead of the trash?
I actually was a country hick from a very small town, and I hate recycling, and I throw it all in the garbage.
You guys didn't do you guys didn't do like garbage pits and garbage burns and stuff like that out there?
No, not really. We had a dump in Wellsville that you take everything to if you needed like scrap stuff thrown away.
Actually,
we were such a small town, Josh. We didn't have a garbage guy that showed up. You had to take all your garbage in a truck when it got to a certain point, and then you took it to the dump 35 minutes away.
Yeah.
We didn't have a trash truck show up. There wasn't enough people.
For a recycling plant.
No, I wish that was, that's just what we did. We had to take everything to the dump. And guess what? I threw away fucking everything. We didn't put any of the shit. They had a recycling section there. Never threw anything in it. Don't even know it was in there.
So I live in a extremely blue state, and our garbage bin and recycling bins go in the exact same truck. So
we
just
do have a different truck
suspect.
Where I live now there's two separate trucks that come here, but I have a sneaking suspicion they dump them in the same spot.
So yeah, it's a good suspicion to have.
Because the recycling one comes every other week, and it comes right behind the garbage truck, like, so it comes with the garbage, like, they're already on the same schedule, so it's clearly the same company.
Our county doesn't even do corporate or like retail or anything. Like, any business like does not get a recycling service. It's all just garbage, it doesn't make any sense because it's like businesses.
That's like where all the waste is. Like,
well, that's all the recycling, all the paper, like the paper that we go through and all these businesses go through. Like, that should be recycled.
Individuals aren't wasting much paper. It's architecture firms. It's law firms. It's like doctor's offices. It's places that are just printing out duplicates of everything. It's insurance offices. It's whatever.
Exactly.
It's kind of a good, that's kind of a good argument for why recycling is a scam, actually, because having people buy their own plastic shitty bin and then throwing some cardboard in it and feeling good about themselves is a lot cheaper than having to have a second separate dumpster at every business that's just for recycling that they know is going in the same place. You know what I mean? They're not going to do that.
Yeah, you can see
that. How's it cheaper to have it like a separate bin in all the individual houses as opposed to like a separate bin in the one centralized place that hundreds
because
of people
you don't,
go to every day?
The people have to buy it. The government doesn't have to buy it.
That's that's a great point. I'll get to that later. Here, let's lead into the actual discussion, the actual topic itself. Bob, can you play the intro clip?
All right.
Reduce, reuse, recycle, we've been told, to manage plastic waste. If only we're all good kids, so the story, plastic would cease being a problem. But in a sequel that'll sound all too familiar, it turns out that the plastic industry promoted this recycling myth for decades while knowing that it wouldn't work, as a recent report from the Center of Climate Integrity reveals.
Beautiful.
Wait. What was that? Recycling myth? It wouldn't work? We just talked about 30 plus years of recycling infrastructure and apparently not education, apparently propaganda. What's going on here?
Aaron hit eject. Josh is broken. So what's the big myth going on?
The big thing I'm going to focus on is plastic recycling specifically, because obviously, paper and aluminum recycling are still very important and save the environment. Plastic recycling, however, there are a lot of problems with. It originated back in the 70s when the big chemical companies had to kind of bargain with the government with their waste and emission as plastics became used for everything. We had Tupperware, we had plastic bottles for our Coke, we had plastic wrap, we had like, you know, plastic bins, we had everything. Everything was plastic. We had rubber, everything. Yes. And then they had to come to terms with the increasing waste, the non-biodegradable waste. And so they told the government, they made this bargain, we can keep producing and selling as much plastic as we want because we can just recycle it. Like it's no waste. It's perfect. You just need to convince all of your constituents to get on board with this. But behind closed doors,
nice.
The folks at DuPont,
no, I'm on board with this, Josh.
3M and whoever, they whispering behind closed doors, saying, recycling doesn't actually work. We can't do that. Let's just keep saying it anyways. And now, 30 years later, the scathing indictment. This giant report. Well, it's not a giant report. It's a little report from the Center for Climate Integrity has revealed the scam, the hoax, that definitely no one knew in the last 50 years.
You know what's so
that's
brutal about these scams, Josh? Is the scams like this where they get in everybody's head. Like they could come out tomorrow. Everybody, the news, everyone. Like, hey, guys, yeah, that recycling bit we did doesn't really work. We can't really reuse the stuff the way we said we have, and like we've just said it so we have like 30 more years of selling plastic to you. Is that appealed to so many people that like there are people that like screamed at other people and like lost friendships over like recycling? And anybody that ever was like, how dare you have to recycle, no matter what you ever tell them, they'll never back off that point because they would feel then ashamed of themselves, and most people can't handle it. So they're going to die by this lie. And it wouldn't even matter if the people that created the lie came out and told them it was a lie to their face. They would still believe it.
No, that's the thing. I'm curious to see how it plays out because Google recycling right now, in the last week. So this report by the Center for Climate Integrity came out in the end of February, so a few weeks ago. In the last week, every major news outlet is covering this pretty heavily, and like everyone like on the mainstream, the right side of the narrative, the right side of history, they're talking about this, and they're talking about what a scam plastic recycling is. I don't know if there was, again, it's been a few days since they started, since it entered the news cycle, so I don't know if the word's really gotten out yet, but I'm curious to see if people believe it.
Josh, I don't know if you know this, but lucky for you, you happen to be speaking to somebody with a PhD in how Grabler scams work. And so whenever you see the whole news jumping on some tiny article, that's because it's benefiting them to push a different scam. So my first immediate thought is the reason all these people are going to start pushing this is to say, oh my God, it's even worse than we thought. Not even recycling helped. So now the climate's extra double fucked and we need to carbon tax everything. What they're going to do.
Probably what's going to happen. Yeah. It's like, sorry, everyone. Now we're just going to raise your taxes by 10%.
Yeah, we have to have a recycling didn't work tax. Another 10% of your income. Yep.
And you have to take a refugee into your house.
That makes sense. It's the consumer's fault for demanding so much plastic. Obviously,
we don't demand anything.
We don't demand it.
I'm pretty sure every person on the planet has bitched about how thick, like those thick plastic packaging on just like random products that you get at like the hardware store, like the supermarket.
The vacuum sealed
ones. You need the tool that you just bought that's in the packaging to cut open the packaging to get to it. It's like, absolutely, I want to get rid of all of that bullshit. We need to move to, like, glass bottles. We can recycle glass. That's great. Let's do that.
Here's the beauty of
plastic
it.
Plastic everything.
I love throwing shit out, but I'm anti-pollution. Like, yes. I don't want to litter. I don't want to, like, make shit dirty and gross. I don't want a landfill filled with plastic that can't break down. Guess what? Here's where people drive me fucking insane is that you take, like Bob said, like one of these vacuum sealed packages where you bought like a $3 X-Acto knife and it's it's surrounded in just like a fucking half a pound of unbiodegradable plastic. Yeah, I think that's insane. Everybody's mindset should not be, you know what we need to do is ban that and then extra tax people that use plastic when we don't even have a choice on whether or not we're using plastic. Instead, if you really want to have faith in scientists, hey, scientists, dickheads, you haven't invented anything in a while. How about you invent biodegradable plastic, something that's as useful as plastic and like melts in the rain and isn't toxic? Like,
wait.
It breaks down Aaron, within 5 years. It disintegrates. How about we do that?
I was trying to decide which clip to play. Let's play both in sequence. Bob, can you do the ones at 2:46 and 5:30?
Yes.
You answer all of your questions very very satisfactorily.
Ever since they started mass producing plastic, and as the report from the Center for Climate Integrity says, the plastic industry was well aware that recycling for the most part just wouldn't work, though of course that was partly due to the way they produced it in the first place, which is why in the 1970s the plastic industry advocated incineration, also known as waste to energy. But burning plastic is a messy, dirty and smelly business. People didn't like it. They pushed the industry to get better at recycling. And so what did the plastic industry do? Well, they promised better recycling despite knowing that this wasn't possible to the extent they were told to do it. Now I ask you, who's to blame? The producer...
Oh, sorry. And then the next clip as well?
Yep, the next clip as well.
Ellen MacArthur Foundation estimates that we have about 150 million metric tons of plastic in the ocean, more than 250,000 of those floating on the surface, trapping birds and fish. About 90% of seabirds now have plastic in their guts. All that plastic eventually grinds down to microscopic particles, the so-called microplastics, that are now contaminating the entire food chain and that have been linked to various detrimental health effects. And recent research out of Scotland, and somewhat ironically, found that the chopping, shredding, and washing of old plastics for recycling creates a lot of microplastics which get into the air and surrounding environment. When I look...
Wonderful!
Recycling is making you gay.
it's turning the frogs gay. God damn it. We've been bamboozled yet again.
Does that answer your questions? We do have meltable plastic. We can burn it down for energy, and it's a decent return on the amount of energy it takes to produce it. You may not like polluting, but apparently a lot of people do. And the best way to deal with that is to chop it up and throw it back in the ocean so that the water we drink and the fish we eat are contaminated with microplastics.
Dude, this is going to be...
Throwing it in the ocean is insane, by the way.
Yeah, right. This is going to be a health concern, like, as these slowly break down over the next 150 years or so. We're going to have a massive health crisis for humanity. Like, that might be, like, what destroys humanity is, like, we get so, like... filled up with microplastics that, like, just no one can breed anymore. We just become infertile because of it.
Like, BPAs and PFASs aren't things you can just, like, get out of the water. They're there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's wild. Like, unless we figure out a way to filter this out. But it's saturated everything. You can't get out of it now. And we've been legally obligated to recycle our plastics for them to do this to us. Like, the government told us, you have to do this.
Well, no, and
or you
got to
reuse your plastic
part.
Bottle that's going to fill you with microplastics to begin with, when just keep leaching off of the water. So, like, every step of this, except for the reduce waste, sure, that's fine. But reusing and recycling, terrible. Monkey's paw.
Reusing is fine. Like, that's why I'm getting so incensed about the plastic bags at the grocery stores that went away, is it's the only thing we all reused. Every single person in America reused that one item unanimously. Like, we all reused it. That's the one we got to get rid of, though. But, like, I don't want everything to be plastic. I think the amount of plastic we use is fucking nuts. And the fact that we haven't changed that shows that they don't give a fuck. These companies and the government doesn't actually care, and they only do things that inconvenience you so that you feel like you're a part of this solution that's not even existent.
Oh, man. Thank you for this, Josh, because I am now going to chew people out when they tell me to recycle something, when I just, like, blatantly throw plastic bottles into, like, the garbage bin.
I'm not even kidding, though. Isn't that why they pick straws in plastic bags? They pick the two most convenient uses of plastic that we use every day and then chose those as the things to go. And I think it's just so you know that they're trying to do something. So they pick the thing that affects you the most.
Yeah. Rather than the packaging that everyone hates, and that, like, if there was a vote
like the Oreos
tomorrow,
came in a fucking paper thing, that would be way better.
Yeah, yeah, like that, or carryout food, or when they switched Coke from a glass bottle to plastic, were people all cheering in applause? Did they love that? Like, did that change their lives, or was it kind of was it no impact, or even worse, or was it worse? Like, it's not necessarily the better option.
I don't think it's a worse option, though. Is glass?
Yeah, that's a good
question. Biodegradable glass is.
Well, I think glass recycling actually works.
Yeah, you just melt it back down.
Oh, because you can melt it back down. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. Whereas plastic, they'll try to, like, shred it up and melt it back down and whatnot, but the quality of it degrades every single time. And what this lady alluded to previously as well was that. How plastics are made, they all have a bunch of additives to them. So even if you have the same type of plastic, it has a bunch of extra things added, like BPAs, or like that sort of extra chemicals that'll make them harder or more flexible or certain color or whatever. But when they have that, then when you recycle them together, they're not, like, compatible. You have all these extra random chemicals that are just fucking up your formulation. You can't recreate good plastic out of it anymore. So you can't, like... So firstly, when it degrades every time you recycle it anyways, and then... You can't even, like, it degrades even more because you can't get a good formulation because it has all this extra bullshit and it's mixed in with other types of plastics. It's the most useless process, most useless sort of effort we have for any sort of resource. It's terrible. Wow. Yeah, I want to go a little bit more to, like, why it, like, when we say recycling doesn't work, that's why it doesn't work. That's what's failing there. And not to mention, like, the energy it takes to recycle is so much more than it takes to just produce new plastic for most cases.
Right. I've always figured you made good context with it, but I always, like, imagine it being like a cooking process. Like, you can't uncook an egg, and that was kind of like plastic where you couldn't just remelt it and then reform it, kind of thing. Like, It just becomes something else the next time you like you put temperature to it.
Pretty so. Much. I mean, yeah, it's just a chemical process for cooking. I want to finish off with the clip at 059 or 058, just to give a fill out some of the info a little more and show what the recycling landscape has looked like over the last 30 years.
The world produces about 450 million tons of plastic per year. That's enough to fill 45 million recycling trucks. Currently, we recycle less than 10% of that. And it's not like the problem is getting smaller. According to the OECD, plastic use has doubled globally from the year 2000 to 2019. They project that by 2060, we'll have three times more plastic than today. And if nothing changes, three times more plastic waste. The fraction of plastic waste that's recycled basically hasn't changed for the past decade. The major reason that plastic isn't recycled more often is that doing it well is expensive and makes no financial sense. There are many different types of plastic, and if you melt them together, the quality of the material degrades quickly. Even if you have the same sort of plastic, it might contain different additives, and dealing with them all is a chemist's nightmare, which is quite something if you consider that for ordinary people, chemistry is a nightmare already.
All right, lady, calm down.
So charming.
Oh, shut up. And they always act like this. They always like, oh, but for ordinary people, science is too hard, so you just have to listen to the man in the lab coat. Like, I fucking hate them so much.
But I do hate chemistry. Fuck that. That's all I'm saying.
We do have a couple solutions, a couple ways looking forward towards the future. One, this lady advocates for just burning, melting it down for and producing energy, or burning for energy. Sure, seems great. Two, just stop recycling it. Just throw it out, landfills, whatever. If we have less
leave
waste,
it in landfills.
We do like, if we try to use plastic less, then like. You know, it can be less of a problem in the future, or maybe this will, as landfills fill up, we can try and make a case for using less plastic. Some plastic companies are still promising that by 2040, 100% of plastic will be very recyclable. So, you know, they're trying that shtick still.
Oh,
and,
totally.
Of course, World Economic Forum, UN. The UN has a nice little new infographic. You know, your reduce, reuse, recycle. They've changed it to just three little tenets, three circles, reuse, recycle, and reorient and diversify. I don't know what it means. It's a little icon of water bottle. So maybe it, actually,
it's very catchy.
It means like, reorient and diversify. So we're going to do that without plastic.
Reorient, diversify. Is plastic gay now?
Yeah, it's gay and yep.
It's gay and black.
We're just dumping our plastic waste in like fucking black and brown poor communities now. That's what that means.
Guys, isn't it incredible that the objectively true thing that is modern science always just happens to also
such
follow whatever modern day political trend there is?
Oh,
you know,
God.
Something that's just hard data and science and facts just always happens to be on the right side of history as well. It's really something special.
I mean, it could be pretty like a simple solution is just to like eliminate most plastics other than like food packaging where it's like actually super useful because like that's not the real heavy, real thick stuff. You know what I mean? Like saran wrap and Sulcan wrap and stuff.
Yeah.
Like stuff like that. Like we could easily get rid of all this plastic packaging bullshit. Get that out of the way. What the fuck are they even thinking? Like they
would
have a,
think
you know what this is what I'm gonna say next time somebody tells me recycle, I'm gonna say, hey dipshit, you know how you keep going on about recycling and how you think we're gonna colonize Mars and how you're gonna terraform Mars? Make biodegradable plastic once and then I'll talk to you about terraforming Mars, okay? And until then, shut the fuck up about me throwing a Pepsi bottle out in the trash, because I promise you that's where your Pepsi bottle's ending up too. You're just too stupid to see it.
Well,
but the U.S. is the world's number one producer of oil, and if we use that in cars, it would destroy the environment, so we have to use it in plastic.
Yeah, much better.
I read the paragraph next to it. reorienting and diversification, which means replacing products such as plastic wrappers, sachets, and takeaway items with products made from alternative materials. So that makes sense. Saying reorient and diversify, that's confusing.
It just sounds like gay and trans gobbledygook.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. God. All right.
I don't know if there's like a gun to the head, but I just wanted to kind of present the case that plastic or not present the case, just like remind everyone that plastic recycling is dumb and stupid, and you're stupid if you feel guilty about not doing it because your grade school teacher told you to.
Yeah, those same people don't recycle like an Oreo tray. They just recycle the ones they're told to. That's how fucking stupid they are.
The point of what Josh is saying is that if you recycle the Oreo tray, you're actually making the environment worse for everything.
Yeah, of course. No, I agree with them.
You want it to be in a landfill.
Yeah, you do. Right now, you want it to be in a landfill. And unbelievably, I'm pro-science on this. Actually do some science, guys. Make plastic that degrades, that is biodegradable, or start using paper. That's it. Just because then it's not a gross mess that you have to throw in a gigantic pit in the desert.
No, we just need to start using like paper and wax paper for shit. You know what I mean? I said like let's keep plastics to like food packaging, but then this website has a picture of cucumbers individually wrapped in plastic.
Yeah. One of my favorite.
Maybe not.
Probably was also a plastic ad. I'm not even kidding.
Wait, you expect me to buy a condom separately?
Guys, do you remember how the rainforest was going to be all chopped down? Do you remember people that believed that we were even capable of chopping down the entire rainforest?
No, it's gone now.
And like,
didn't you see the Amazon rainforest? It doesn't exist anymore.
It's like trees are the most renewable resource we have. Like, not even close. And people were anti-using that for stuff because of commercials. I guarantee it was like plastic companies that put those out.
Probably.
That'd be real cool.
Yeah.
I kind of want to look into that now.
Super neat.
The rainforest being cut down ads.
All right. All right. We have a few. No gun to your head, Josh. It's just that plastic's going to kill us all and we're all doomed.
I mean, gun to your head, what's your comeback one-liner when somebody tells you to recycle or you see somebody recycling? And tell them not to.
If I was in the position that Aaron postulated where someone yelled at me for throwing like a plastic bottle into the garbage can, I'm like, I would just turn around and be like, what do you want me to be, gay? And just walk away.
Okay. That's pretty good.
Yeah. That's how I'm going to handle it from now on.
My whole life is me doing something that's doesn't harm another person. Might harm myself. Like smoking and not recycling and people just yelling at me. And I never just go up to people as much as I yell at like a maniac on here. I never go up to people and tell them to do something different than what they're doing. Cause that's a psychotic thing to do. So somebody tells me to, somebody tells me to do anything ever, I will immediately go into an autistic rage and start arguing with them. But that's my response to when somebody tells me to recycle. I go into an autistic rage about how recycling doesn't matter. And I basically just talk about like everything this German woman did, whatever that accent was, except without the accent. And until they walk away annoyed because it's like they hate it. That's my tactic.
Nice. All right. We do have a couple voicemails.
Smoking killing you.
Right. Go ahead.
Leading into the voicemails, Bob.
Okay.
No, I'm leading into the voicemail. Speaking of smoking killing you, ..
I'm freaking out. Seeing a lot of stuff about nicotine being like anti-parasitic and like a great cognitive enhancer and like immunity and a bunch of stuff and like all the active ingredients in a non-modern cigarette would have only been good for you, minus the smoke. I still say smoking's bad for you, but why are cigarettes actually good for you? This is weird. Look into it.
No, nicotine is great. I agree with the caller on this one, Bobby. Nicotine's great. Smoking bad. Definitely ingest nicotine.
Yeah, smoke into your lungs too much will cause lung cancer. Normally when you're old as shit, so, you know, if you want to roll the dice, go for it. But, I totally agree with this. Everybody I know that smokes isn't a complete retard. Not everybody. If they smoke because they're alcoholics or drug users, like they're like drug abusers that happen to also smoke, those guys are still retards. But like non-alcoholic, absolutely, non-like weed fiend or like cokeheads that smoke, best people. Not even close. Probably because they don't have brain parasites. That's probably why it's a cognitive enhancer.
This is just Aaron giving
something. It's anti-parasitic.
This is just Aaron giving a shout out to like every smoking group he's ever hung out in. Out of the work site, you know, out of the school site.
All,
like whatever.
All the best engineers to work with are the ones that smoke, by far. Not even close. The ones that don't smoke are usually like neurotic and losers. Like,
Josh, I think you need to take up smoking. I think it'll be good for
your
health.
Josh definitely does. He needs to smoke a couple cigarettes a day. He has so many cat parasites in his brain, it's insane. Your lungs can take it, Josh. You're a swimmer. They'll be fine.
It'll force him to socialize, too, during the day with people, just strangers. Just talk to random strangers.
Oh, God. I can't do it. I can't do it, Bob.
You get that 45-year-old woman that looks like she's like 67, and she has like an 80-year-old man's voice, that like a 3-pack-a-day voice. She goes, "Hey, can I get a cigarette?" And then she just yaps your ear off for like 25 minutes, like into like 2 cigarettes. You're like, "All right, lady, I gotta go."
It's, you know, he'll never do it because he knows that his functioning brain right now is the parasite, and that his current self will die, and the original Josh will come out, and he doesn't even know what that would look like.
This is a lost boy.
I know it'd be worse.
Perfect.
Jesus. Okay. One more. This one's very compelling, I think.
All right. So if the ice wall has nothing but continents behind it, how is that not different than space? It's just like, oh, we can't go there. It's like, okay, well, you can't go to space either. So how is space fake and it's all fake?
That's it.
He's just, well, hold on.
Realm Earth is just cosmology.
Couple things. All those outer continents people is from like one book by a lady who claimed her dad went there. Her dad was some military guy, but...
Oh, really?
Oh, I know. Yep. I know what you're talking about.
I don't remember what it's called, but that's where that comes from, like the maps of the continents and the outside of the ice wall. I personally have never claimed that. What I say is I have no idea what's below the 60th parallel. But the other reason that outer space is called outer space is because the space outside of the ice wall is outer space. It's the space outside of the wall. Like, we use the same words that would actually apply to the same thing on, like, a flat map.
So beyond the ice wall, beyond the firmament, basically, is
literally
quote, unquote,
is outer
space.
There is no difference. Yeah, it's okay. It's the space outside of our little, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. You know, okay. Our little realm. But that would be outer space. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think the point of his voicemail was that if they're both, you both can't get to him, then they're both fake and gay, right?
Or yeah,
you
I don't
claiming
believe
that you just know less about it.
Yeah, no, I don't claim that there's continents outside the ice wall. I don't know what there is outside of that. Yeah. So he's right. The people that are like, oh, there's continents out there where there's unicorns and drag, like they're retarded. They're exactly as retarded as somebody is like, yep, the sun is definitely 92 million miles away. I don't even need to think about how I could possibly prove that.
Feel like the outer
Wait,
continent.
So what I'm hearing is.
Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
What I'm hearing is we need to hop on Midjourney and flood the world, flood the internet with images of Realm Earth and like everything outside the ice wall. So that by flooded, I mean put as many images out as we have photos of outer space, so that it's they're on equal footing now. Because that's the thing. Like Aaron says, he doesn't know what's out there. We know what's in outer space. We have for decades, half a century, these beautiful, high res, super colorful, very star studded photos of everything out there. We don't have enough photos of Realm Earth. Someone get on Midjourney.
I'd be fine with that, Josh, but I also need a multi-hundred-billion-dollar Jewish media conglomerate to tell people that Realm Earth is the real thing for 70 years, and then the outer space people have to try to come back and have everybody tell them they're retarded for thinking of outer space because they didn't learn about they learned about Realm Earth in school all their whole life. Like that's like it is the equivalent. It's a perfect equivalent. It would be exactly as dumb. That's how dumb outer space is that you've gotten the equivalent thing to what you just described, where we got a bunch of AI-generated images of outer space, but you do that for Realm Earth, and people just believe it because they were told it. It's the exact same thing, but one you find as silly in your head because you didn't just grow up being told it.
So I think we can all agree that
yes,
the outer continents is definitely a little bit less retarded than, what is it, the Hollow Earth theory?
Yeah, it's definitely less retarded. We don't know what's beyond it.
Why is the Earth hollow?
Don't know.
Those people are fucking idiots. Hollow Earth is so stupid.
It's like they're making, it's like a parody of conspiracy.
I just wanted Aaron to give his opinion on it.
There's no, I hate everything that has no basis of, there's no evidence for why you believe it. I saw a Aaron, picture one time of some occultist in the 1600s, so now that's my reality. Yeah, it's a hollow earth. It's like, what?
Aaron, if your flat earth doesn't have anything beneath it, then it's technically hollow too.
I have no idea what's beneath it. I don't, not knowing what's beneath it is not the same as making a claim as to what is beneath it. That is a huge distinction. The people that make these claims without ever have any proof or never have gone and observed it themselves are fucking retards. Like, that's the stupidest shit ever. It drives me
nuts. It's one thing to say, like, there's an impenetrable ice wall, and then on the other side of that ice wall, there's a whole different sea of continents out there. And then to be like, I'm going to take that further and be like, there's people and societies living underground, like in the earth, that have reverse gravity or whatever. It's like, what are you talking about?
Science fiction, either way. Like, we're the people that are on my side, they're like, yeah, the earth is flat. By the way, did you know there's this continent and this continent and this continent on the outside? It's like, bro, shut the fuck up. You don't know that. You were just saying shit. Like, how are you so gullible? You're just as gullible as the people you make fun of for believing the fucking spaceship shit. Oh, yeah, they always do spacewalks and no one ever turns their camera around. Oh, yeah, that's real. It's definitely not in a pool with green screen. Ignore the bubbles. Like, the people that believe that shit are just as stupid as the people who believe continents on the outside 100%. Now, I'll wonder about it. I can wonder, hey, that'd be cool if there were continents out there, but I don't ever tell anybody there's continents out there. That's fucking crazy. I don't know that at all.
And then you have names for them and everything too.
Yeah, like, what the fuck, how did you name it? Like, you're just reading a storybook at that point, which is fine, but don't think it's real. Just have it still be fiction.
You seem to be missing this very important step in the scientific method. So let me step back. So scientific method, at the very end, you have replicability of studies. So everyone else says the same thing. Very important. Before that, you have actually, you know, the initial proving it and statistical significance and all that. So you got to have something you've applied data to. But before that, before you even, or I guess you design your experiment so you get the results you want, but before that, you have the hypothesis. Very important part of science is wild speculation of what could possibly be true.
I agree. It would
be unscientific to say, I don't know what is outside of the ice wall or outside of the atmosphere. You got to make a claim. You got to speculate wildly and unfoundedly that there are planets and continents and whatever the hell out there. And then, once everybody is saying the exact same thing, also known as replicability, you've done science.
Thank you for that lesson, Josh.
Are you back? Sorry, I'm back. I actually love that rant, Josh.
Josh was explaining propaganda.
My phone that was giving me hotspotting my internet was, well, I loved
it. He was just breaking down science propaganda for us.
And then, oh, damn.
All right. I think that's a perfect place to wrap.
My hotspot died.
That's a wrap. Yep. That's a wrap. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't tell me you don't like my show.
You've got mail.
What the fuck?
Whatever, fuck this shit. I have a PlayStation raincoat.